It's now time for the Satellite Guys podcast. Featuring all the latest news, talk, and rumors from the world of satellite. Plus all the latest headlines from the world of home theater technologies. And now, here is your host, Goalie Bob Nemitz.
Hey, Satellite Guys, what's going on? Welcome to another exciting edition of the SatelliteGuys.us podcast. You know, Scott, how was your weekend?
Oh, man, I was kind of relaxing this weekend after, all the false starts on USA HD and Sci-Fi HD finally came, and I could finally relax because so many times I was told by my, insiders at Dish, and I'm not going to name any names there, but some of them were some pretty big names. I've been told all along that Sci-Fi is going to launch on this day, on this day, on this day, and it never happened. And some of the people who would know this are some of the people who are giving me the information. And, when it didn't launch last Wednesday, I actually called somebody, and he was like, "No way, it launched today, it launched today." And I said, "No, check your box." So he turned on his receiver in his office and looked at it, and he didn't even know that it didn't launch. So it was kind of one of those situations where it's the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing, but finally it's up, USA, Sci-Fi, and also another surprise this week, CNN HD. But we'll get more into that later. How was your week, Bob?
I was pretty good. I took my daughter to her first ball game this weekend. We went to the Friendly Confines, for those of you who are watching today's game over on WGN HD or WGN. The Cubs kicked the smack out of the Pittsburgh Pirates. So, it was kind of fun having that experience. And that was my first time being at Wrigley Field myself, too.
Yeah. Last night, me and my son, he's 5 years old now, we went, and also my wife went. We went and saw some professional wrestling last night, and we had ringside seats, which was really unique. And I had a great time doing it. It's a good time to see some of these guys. Jerry the King Lawler was there, Roddy Piper, Samoa Joe, and some other big names, superstars in the world of wrestling. And my son never really watched wrestling before, but last night he was really impressed, and he was really into it. It was kind of fun to watch his expressions.
Yeah, that's cool. We've come a long way since our first podcast, Scott. And this is the last show of our first volume of podcasts.
Now, how do you decide what ends the season? How many shows for a season? I never figured that out.
Generally, the way that it's ran, it's anywhere between 20 and 24 episodes equals a season, in the television industry. I decided to run 23 instead of 24. So basically, it's a general guideline. Every 23 to 24 shows, that's going to be a season for SatelliteGuys.us podcasting.
Well, then I'm proud to announce that the network has picked us up for the next season. Hey.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing how far we've come from our first show. We've come to having nobody listen to us to being one of the top 200 podcasts consistently every month over at Podcast Alley. And be sure to vote for us if you're not voting for us.
Yeah, make sure you vote for us. And also on the Apple site and iTunes, we're the highly rated. For our popularity meter, popularity meter is all the way to the right. And we thank you for tuning in each and every week. This is fun for us. We never even know what we're going to talk about until we do the show. So it's fun.
Yeah, generally, we like to let you know what's going on in the industry because, believe it or not, we do have overseas listeners from, Europe and stuff, and they want to know what's going on over the pond here in the States.
Yeah, it's a good time, and sometimes we learn about it. There's been a couple times where I've been explaining stuff to you guys about what's going on, and actually when I'm explaining it to you, I actually see the bigger picture, what's going on there, and it's actually helped me think about some of the stuff that's been going on in the world of satellite and why the companies are doing certain things that they're doing. So this is a way to express what's going on at those companies, but it's also a learning experience for me because I'm actually, while talking about it, I'm actually figuring it out and putting pieces together of the puzzle in my head. It's kind of neat.
And as we move in the future, I expect the show to get nothing but better. We're working on quality issues, trying to bring you the best quality of the show as small of a file as possible. So if you guys have any comments or questions, make sure you let us know so that way we can go ahead and correct any issues or anything like that.
All right, Bob, I'm going to do it, though. So let's switch gears here. Ha ha ha. And the first thing up this week, I think, is a brand new DVB S2 cartridge out for the Pansat 9200 free-to-air receiver. Bob, I don't know anything about this. Can you explain this a little bit to me?
Right. Scott, you're absolutely right. And this, we found out about this a couple days ago. Basically, when you bought your Pansat 9200 from Pansat, they said, hey, you can get all this wonderful high-definition programming, but it's not it's S2 capable, but you require a separate cartridge to receive those signals. So what Pansat finally has done is they designed that separate cartridge. It's a real simple installation module. You install it in your Pansat, and it will allow you to get various DBS2 muxes, which is a different type of encoding on the satellites, for channels like the RTN networks over...
The Equity Max on G10, yep.
And a lot of the encoding is going this way because it's bandwidth efficiency, and also that with, along with MPEG-4 encoding, you can squeeze more channels into a smaller amount of space.
And it looks just as good. It looks better than what a normal free-to-air transmission would look like. Do you know if this cartridge at all can do 422? Or
I haven't heard anything about 422. I know 4TechStar is working on their version of that. I don't know, that's been talked about forever now, and maybe a release next month, nobody knows.
Yeah, well, hopefully we're going to get David McGrath on a future podcast here, and when the Passion's ready for release here in the United States, he's going to come on and tell us all about it, and I'm looking forward to that. What's happening with the Passion, I'll just give you a brief explanation, is it was made for both the European and the U.S. market. You may notice that if you look at the spec sheet for it, it's got S-Cart connectors on the back, as well as standard U.S.-type connectors for HD. And it's because of that that this receiver can be used both in Europe and here in the United States. The big thing was they were rushing to get it out the door for the European market, and they did get it out for the European market, but they never wrote the drivers for North America. In fact, they didn't think this receiver was going to be as well received as it has been. You know, everybody's been waiting for it here in the United States, and they've been working to write the NTSC drivers for it. And since this is 4Tech's own receiver, they're building everything. They've been it's a kind of a learning curve for them to try to learn how to write drivers for the chipsets that they're using. And I'm understanding that they're almost done with it, and we could see it in May. And I know a lot of people are looking forward to it. And again, when it's about ready to launch here in the United States, we'll have David McGrath on from 4Tech Communications, and he'll tell us all about it.
Yeah, that's definitely a receiver that I'm looking forward to. I love the 4x2x2 specs that they're saying that it's going to have, along with all the HD MPEG-2, MPEG-4, DVB-S, DVB-S2. It really looks like it's going to be an incredible box once when it does come out.
Right, and again, they're just finishing off the drivers for the North American NTSC market, because it was originally made for the PAL market, but it's going to work for both now.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and switch gears now into gear number two. So, Scott, how are you enjoying USA and Sci-Fi and CNN on Dish?
Well, I watched Sci-Fi the other night. I never watched Battlestar Galactica before, but I did enjoy seeing the girl at the end get sucked out the air vent. That was pretty neat. And USA, haven't watched too much of it yet. My wife was watching House the other night in HD, and that made me kind of happy, because even though we get good off-air signals here in Hartford, the 622-722 is kind of flaky at times, where you can have 100% signal, and then the wind blows, and the signal drops down to 97%, but the screen breaks up for a little bit for a couple seconds. And so when she watches network TV shows, she doesn't watch them in HD, because she doesn't like watching them get all broken up. So this was her first time really sitting through a network TV show in full high definition, and it was kind of nice to watch it the way it's supposed to be watched.
Now, Scott, have you compared this to DirecTV yet with their version and see how it stacks up?
I have not yet. I haven't had time yet this weekend, and I'm going to look forward to doing that. I've been testing out some other channels between Dish and DirecTV, and I got to be honest, DirecTV looks great sometimes, and sometimes the same channel doesn't look so great. And I've actually done, over the past recent weeks, I've been doing some comparisons of both Dish and DirecTV recording the same show from like Food Network and HGTV and stuff, and comparing the two. And sometimes the picture looks better on Dish for one show, but then another show immediately following it looks better on DirecTV. I think the real key here is the encoders they're using, and how they're being encoded. You know, one encoder is set to look for certain things to encode better on DirecTV side, and then Dish Network's encoders are set to handle the encoding a little differently, and you can see the quality difference there. So ultimately, both companies look very good. I'm not going to say they look pristine, because neither of them are pristine, but both of them look very good, but they do have their flaws for each of them. And again, it's a personal preference there of what you like, because you know, you're going to like what you see in HD from either company. The big key here is that we are able to measure the resolution on Dish Network by using a TS Reader software, but we don't have that same ability, too many T's in there, to do that with DirecTV side of things. And so that way we can't really compare apple to apples, because we don't know what the resolution DirecTV is sending out. We don't know how much it's being squeezed down, all that kind of stuff there. And again, their encoders can be optimized for high speed, for low speed, for still pictures. We don't know how they're set up their encoders. But again, most of the time, the HD from both providers looks really, really good.
And for those of you that don't know, this week on Wednesday, Dish Network launched CNN HD, and USA and Sci-Fi was left to a Friday night surprise.
Yeah, well, it wasn't, well, I can't say it wasn't really a surprise, but I got so burned personally so many times of people inside Dish telling me that USA and Sci-Fi is coming tomorrow, that I found out through an email about 11 p.m. Eastern time, which is about 9 p.m. Colorado time, from one of my good contacts there, saying that both of those channels are launching in the morning. And I didn't even bother posting it, because I didn't want to look like the boy who cried wolf so many times for USA and Sci-Fi Channel. We did know on Tuesday, actually late Monday night to Tuesday, that CNN HD was coming on Wednesday, and we did see that one launch. We also noticed a big screw up this week on the Dish Network website, where they added the CNN HD logo, and they also added the logo for Cartoon Network HD, which Dish is not carrying yet. And in fact, I don't even think it has been uplinked and tested yet. I think they're planning on putting it on where Mojo is currently in testing. And that's where Cartoon Network's going to go. But they have not actually put Cartoon Network up yet, from what I'm being told.
And the thing with Cartoon Network is, I have Cartoon Network HD on DirecTV, and I have yet to see a single show in high definition. Whereas with Nickelodeon, at least they run one every once a month, or however often it is.
Right, and Cartoon Network HD, from what I know of it, there's no plans to show any HD until this fall. I understand they have some kind of Star Wars cartoon that's going to be all in HD, and you know, I'll be happy to see it when it is HD. I'm the kind of person, though, who's under the belief that no channel should be called an HD channel unless it runs a certain percentage, you know, say 50% of their programming in high definition. But you know, Cartoon Network HD, when you get it, it's going to look nice, because you know you're watching upconverted 480i. You're not going to see the compression that you're going to see in the standard definition version of it. But honestly, I don't think that it's a worthwhile HD channel to get excited about at this point in time.
In other news with Dish Network, the TiVo injunction ruling case finally came down. Basically, the judge said that if you have a certain model DVR, I think it was a 942 on down, that EchoStar has to turn off the DVR service for all of Dish's customers.
Well, that's not really the case. The injunction basically prevents Dish Network from activating any more of those receivers, being the 501, 508, 510, 522, 625, 721, 921, and 942. All Dish Network customers who have one of those DVRs now, they're not going to see any changes to their service whatsoever. Dish is not going to shut down their DVR service. The judge is not going to order them to shut down a DVR service. But if you shut down your Dish Network account for a month, If you go away somewhere, if you buy a receiver off eBay and it's one of those models that you have, they're not going to reactivate it for you. They're forbidden by law, by the judge's orders, from doing that. So if you have one of those receivers, relax. It's not going to get shut off on you. You're going to be fine. But if you're looking at buying one, you know, you see them cheap on eBay, you see a 501 or even a 522, you're not going to be able to get it activated because of this ruling. And that's what it really means.
Right. And I'm glad that you pointed that out, Scott, because I was under the miscommon conceptions that are falling under this ruling. And, you know, that's kind of good to know, because I have a 510 that's not activated from when I had dish service. And now I'm just going to have to trash it because it's no longer going to be good for activations anymore.
Right. And even in the ruling, because the ruling is really hard to read. It says, you know, defendants are further ordered to, within 30 days of issuance of this order, disable the DVR functionality, i.e. disable all storage to and playback from a hard disk drive of television data, and all but 192,708 units of the infringing products that have been placed with an end user or subscriber. Now, again, the 192,708 are the DVRs that are currently in use out there. So if you got one of those, you're not going to get shut off. Dish cannot turn on those anymore. So if you move, you buy one off eBay, your second cousin gives you one because he's not using it anymore, you're not going to be able to get it turned on. It's a doorstop. But if you have one currently and it's activated, it will remain running just like it is today.
And, you know, I can't help it, but Dish is going to start coming out with new models that we're going to see here in the next couple of months at the Team Summit. So that way, if you have one of those models, maybe they can replace it with a newer model.
Yeah, I don't see that really happening unless they really start pushing the Eastern Arc, and then that'll be moving people to a total MPEG-4 type system. I do see that happening. It's a couple years away, but who knows? It's Dish Network, you know. Anything can happen at Dish Network, and usually does.
Well, Scott, that's the music. Do we have anything special in store for this week?
I don't really know about this week or not. I've been told we could see some more HD this month. Whether that means this week or next week is unknown. By the way, if you're listening to this and are in the Nashville area, we are still accepting sign-ups for our Satellite Guys meet and greet at Team Summit. Last year we did it. We had Charlie Ergen stop by for a good hour and a half talking with us. And we don't know who's going to stop by this year, but we can guarantee you you're going to meet some great people from Dish Network and possibly some other companies that are working with Dish Network as well.
Right, and well, that's the show, so we'll see you real soon.
See ya.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Satellite Guys Podcast. If you have any questions or comments about our podcast, you can post them online at satelliteguys.us. Or you can email us at podcast@satelliteguys.us. Also remember, you too can be a part of our next podcast by leaving us a message at 815-907-5558. That number again, 815-907-5558. Go ahead and leave us a message. You just might hear it on our next show. Today's podcast was made possible by DishStore.net. On behalf of the entire crew at Satellite Guys Podcast, we'll see you again real soon.